Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O hero, Vidura, Diti, being thus afflicted by the contamination of lust, and therefore poor and talkative, was pacified by the son of Marici in suitable words. Please repeat. O hero, Vidura, Diti, being thus afflicted by the contamination of lust, and therefore poor and talkative, was pacified by the son of Marici in suitable words. Purport. When a man or woman is afflicted by the lust of sex desire, it is to be understood as sinful contamination. Kashyapa was engaged in his spiritual activities, but he did not have sufficient strength to refuse his wife, who was thus afflicted. He could have refused her with strong words, expressing impossibility, but he was not as spiritually strong as Vidura. Vidura is addressed here as hero, because no one is stronger in self-control than a devotee of the Lord. It appears that Kashyapa was already inclined to have sexual enjoyment with his wife, and because he was not a strong man, he tried to dissuade her only with pacifying words. So we can pray together the initial mantra. Om Agyanati Midandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sta Shri Rupam Sagatattam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sadevam Sadvetam Savadutam Paridana Saitam Krishna Tetanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakan Vitam Sta He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishapanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarupyasta Kripa Sindhu Pyaevata Patitanam Pavanipyo Vaishnavipyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yeah, so first of all, I would like to give me your well-wishing blessings for this class today morning. Yeah, so here in this chapter, just to give a short how we come here to this point of text 16. So Vidura, we know he had left Hastinapur and he was on a pilgrimage. On that pilgrimage, he met with the great personalities. And he is here right now in a talk with Maitreya Muni. And he is actually inquiring about transcendental knowledge, about Lord Varaha, about his appearance, the appearance of Lord Varaha, and what was actually the cause of the fight of Varaha, Lord Varaha and Hiranyaksha. So Maitreya Muni, who is Mahabhagavat, so he feels very enlivened, very happy and very inspired by these inquiries of Vidura. And there he begins the narration. And here in our chapter now, it is entitled chapter 14 of Canton 3, Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening. So the situation is that Diti approached her husband, Kashyapa, for union at twilight. So that's the night in the evening just before sunset, and this is a very inauspicious time for conceiving a child. So here in today's verse, we basically hear about Diti's state of consciousness and the reaction of her husband towards it. So I first of all wanted to remind us once again, like also other speakers did, that actually here there are two great personalities. We are looking at Diti and Kashyapa Muni. And we are fortunate enough to receive a little glimpse into their life, which is not only a pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead arranged by Krishna, but also in the Srimad Bhagavatam meant to, for us to learn something, to become purified and to learn from this. So we know that any narrations relation in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are very purifying and uplifting, and that are transformational. They transform the hearts of the hearer, especially when it is heard with the right attitude and when it is coming from the right source. So, so we have that beautiful verse which we also recite many times in the morning, but I recite it now at this point. Shrinvatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtanam hit antusti abadzani vidunoti suritsatam. So it says here, Shri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So as conditioned souls trying to be on the path of bhakti, we all come with an unclean heart which needs to be cleansed. So I wanted to remind us of the purpose we are hearing here, this beautiful pastime. So Sukadev Goswami, he perfected his life by speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, and Maharaj Pariksit, he perfected his life by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So let us try to follow in their footsteps. So Diti, the daughter of Daksha, is said here is to be afflicted by the contamination of lust. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the purport to 336, Prabhupada says, a living entity in contact with material nature acts in many sinful ways without hesitation, and sometimes even against his will. And he continues in the text to 37, same chapter. Krishna says, Krishna said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which born of contact the material modes of nature, which is born with the contact of material modes of nature, passion. So, so here we have Aditi. So that is in general, that is also obviously meant for us, that the living entity, born as pure spirit soul, being born in this material world, becomes contaminated with the modes of material nature. And here Prabhupada makes a very specific saying in this purport here. He says, when a man or woman is afflicted by lust of sex desire, it is to be understood a sinful contamination. So here's a question, what makes actually sex sinful? So we understand that the sex urge is something very natural and is not sinful at all in itself. But what makes it sinful is when it is uncontrolled, the urge is uncontrolled and is not properly engaged. So that makes it sinful. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita again in 7:11, Dam maviru do bhuteshu kamus mi bharatashaba. He said, I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. Yes, so the word afflicted from the dictionary actually translates as very grievously affected, very grievously affected by especially disease. So we hear Prabhupada often saying that the living entities are very much diseased. So there is comparison given. And in one purport, Prabhupada in Canton 3, 26.6, he expressed it like, the forgetful living entity can be compared to a man who is under the influence of disease and has become mad. So it is actually, what is a disease? It's actually that we have forgotten that we are. We have forgotten our identity. We have forgotten who we are. And that is our disease. We identify ourselves with material bodies, with material nature. We take up negative qualities like lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, anxieties. So, but nevertheless, the living entity has basically forgotten the object of its love. It comes in a pure state. Pure state means a loving servant of Krishna. But being in contact with the modes of nature, it has forgotten the object of love. And Prabhupada describes, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust when milk is in contact with the sour tamarind. And thus the milk is transformed into yogurt. So this one of the two symptoms described here of this lust are poor and talkative. So poor, I understand, to be referring now to the state of Aditi's consciousness. So her consciousness was, she was in a pitiable state because she was afflicted with this very strong urge to beget a child, which in itself is rightful, but unfortunately the time wasn't right. So, and also poor in her consciousness because she didn't consider any consequences of her actions. She didn't think about how to actually achieve what she wanted to achieve in a dharmic way, because she had a dharmic desire, but she had a very strong urge in fulfilling this in an adharmic way. So she was basically shot by the arrows of Cupid in a very strong way. So what we as conditioned souls can take away from there, so I was thinking, just assuming that Diti properly, because we heard she had 12 co-sisters, or Kashyapuni had 12 co-wives were there, so they all had children, and so she naturally, as a woman, as a wife, she also would like to have a child. And they are both there, Kashyapa and all his wives, to propagate this universe here. So, but what it was, is she must have contemplated on this for quite a long time, was my thought, you know, that. And then we know when we go to contemplate on the sense objects, on and on and on, you know, we will develop attachment for this. And this attachment becomes very strong, turns into lust, you know. And Prabhupada is said here, by lust of sex desire. So that was the contamination, the sinful contamination. So it turned into very strong lust. And her mind also must have been then engaged in this process of thinking, feeling, willing, which is then very, it starts with a little thought, and by contemplation it ends up with a really forceful, yes, I want to do it. So, and she regretted it later, you know. And this may happen also to us when we just contemplate on our sense objects, without maybe, when we have a certain situation in life, problem situation, or whatever we want to do, it's better to reveal our mind, I thought, you know. Instead of, instead of just keeping it to ourselves, reveal our mind to somebody and find solutions to that problem together and think it really through so that we come to the right decisions. so maybe even before the problems occurs even. So, yeah, so that would be more like a sattvic way. And also, we know it is a fact, actually, that when the person is influenced by external energy, then actually we are under our own perception, and then we cannot understand the real substance. So that's how she couldn't really hear what Kashyapa Muni is going to say or is saying to her. He couldn't really understand, couldn't really think through. So it is said by a Vaishnava, by a great Vaishnava poet, is said, when a man is haunted by ghosts, he can only speak nonsense. Similar, anyone who is under the influence of material nature should be considered haunted, and whatever he speaks should be considered nonsense. So that's a very strong statement, actually, because it refers to any speak. But here we see that the modes of material nature have such qualities that anything which is not about Krishna, not in relation to Krishna, is actually not very bona fide, you know. So it's not. So it's, and here, haunted, we can see actually, especially in the lower modes, people in the lower modes, you see on the streets, you have gone on book distribution, you must have had probably some interactions with people where you were really surprised, you know, or just not maybe interacted, but seeing them on the street. They're acting a little strange, you know, and they are maybe very abrupt also. They are shouting suddenly, they're talking nonsensically, you know, and they're showing very irrational behavior. And it looks like, just like haunted, you know. So this symptom of poor and talkative, because it goes together, the urges of the mind and the urges of the speech. So what is in the mind comes out in the speech. It's actually very strongly awakened in this age of Kali Yuga and very strongly awakened in our society and worldwide, because great attachment and lust is awakened in society. So the urge to speak is very strong anyway in all living beings. And there's a quote in Nectar of Instruction where it says, a toad in a field, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Gorni Taiki Jai. A toad in a field speaks by croaking, and similar, everyone who has a tongue wants to speak, even if all he has to say is nonsense. The croaking of the toad, however, simply invites the snake, please come here and eat me. Nevertheless, also, it is an invitation to death. The toad goes on croaking. So we have so many stimulations from social media, television, radio, YouTube, which is not a Krishna conscious stimulation, which is material. So, and there, everyone has something to say because everyone is so much afflicted actually by lust, material desires, and material attachments, and they, through their speech, it is. Presented, and it's also they want to implant this material desires in the hearts of the hearer, and so you hear a nice class and suddenly some awkward ads come up there to allure and to take you away from your Krishna consciousness. So yet the whole, but what is the good thing out of all of this here, what we hear, is that we just need to take this process of contemplating, getting attached to and talking about, and replace the object. Just replace the object. And then we replace the object with Krishna or with topics relating to Krishna. And then everything will function very favorably for us, you know. Because as we contemplate on the transcendental sense objects of Krishna, then attachment for Krishna will arise, you know. And that will stimulate us to talk about him, which is, again, very purifying, uplifting, and helps the spirit soul really to gain back their original state, coming out of this forgetful state, understanding who they really are. So, you know, many devotees, their senses are purified, their intelligence, mind is purified, and we hear them speaking hours and hours on Krishna consciousness, you know, here in our ISKCON movement. So these type of talkative is very rich, is very healthy, is wealthy, and is very much appreciated and encouraged. So going on from here, it says in this verse, Kashyapa pacified Diti by suitable words. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada informs us that he was engaged in spiritual activities but he did not have sufficient strength to refuse his wife. So, and then it says also, he was not as spiritual strong as Vidura. And the verse itself, here Maitreya Muni also, he addresses Vidura as hero. He's saying, yeah, he addresses Vidura as hero. So I wanted to contemplate a little bit, like, why Vidura, in what sense is Vidura a hero? Because he did not act as a fighter, he wasn't in the war, you know, he didn't go to win the battle or win the kingdom. So in what sense was Vidura the hero? So this brought me to this Srimad Bhagavatam verse, 11:19, 36-39. So there, Prabhupada describes what is real heroism. And he says, real heroism is to conquer one's natural tendency to enjoy material life. So natural tendency to enjoy material life, but he can conquer. And a real hero is to conquer one's lower nature. Certainly, everyone likes to propagate his own fame as a brilliant person, but everyone is also subject to lust, anger, greed, and so forth. Therefore, if one can conquer these lower characteristics generated from the mode of passion and ignorance, one is a greater hero than those who merely destroy their political opponents through intrigue and violence. Yes, so what does this remind us of? Like Vidura as a pure devotee, when he was very strongly insulted by Duryodhana in the palace and with very much heart-piercing words, he was not subjected to lust and anger and greed, and he did not retaliate. He was very self-controlled. And he took this instance rather as an arrangement by Krishna, by higher arrangement and by the Lord. And he immediately left the palace. He decided to leave the palace and to go on pilgrimage for his purification. And we see further also that Vidura, on that pilgrimage, there he actually met Krishna, he met Uddhava, and he met Maitreya Muni. Which brings us right now here, where we are here at this story, because Maitreya Muni is, Vidura is inquiring from Maitreya Muni. So his intelligence is definitely surcharged with pure transcendental knowledge on the loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is the real hero. So that was very insightful, I thought, on hero. How Vidura is addressed as hero. And Prabhupada actually also brings out in another verse, 4:25-25 in the purport, where he describes two heroes. Okay, so in the material world, we also have heroes. One hero is when he is a victim of the illusionary energy and he works as a great hero in the material world, as a great leader, as a politician, businessman, industrialist. And he is heroic. Activities contribute to the material advancement of civilization. So that's a materialistic hero. But then he also points out, one can also become a hero by being the master of the senses, a Goswami. Material activities are false heroic activities. Whereas restraining the senses from material engagement is heroism. So however great one may be in this material world, he can be immediately conquered by, oh yeah, this Prabhupada says actually further, lumps of flesh and blood known as the breasts of women. So for example, there was an example given of Caesar, Julius, I believe it is Caesar, is that a Roman hero, and he was captivated by Cleopatra, by her beauty. And there's also given the example of Braj Rao. He was a devotee. He was a person who was, he got killed, actually. He got killed by the kiss of a Vishakanya. So this is a poisonous girl. So these girls are actually grown up. They get a little bit of poison throughout their lifetime, and they get immune against it. But when their body is touched, you know, especially through a kiss, so then the person will be killed. Yeah, so that happens to these materialistic heroes. getting killed by their own sense gratification, you know. Yeah. So, but nevertheless, we have the choice. We are here in this material world, but we can keep ourselves steady and resist the attraction of material nature, or and decide in this way to become a hero, and that is called Goswami, like an act of instruction. We know what makes a Goswami, the guru, so who can control his senses. So we have a beautiful example of Srila Haridas Thakur. Obviously, we all know about this. But he is our Namacharya. He chants the holy names endlessly. And he approached by a prostitute. And what was his reaction? He was even saying, all right, so please stay here. I will enjoy with you for sure, comply your desires, but stay here, and I have to finish first my rounds. So he did chant and chant, so the light came, and then he said, sorry, I haven't finished my rounds yet. So she decided to go, and for three sequences, days, she did the same, going home and coming back in daytime. And after that, not successful in her approach, but she actually started chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So she got affected by the association of Haridas Thakur, and her heart transformed, and she actually became a great Vaishnavi by taking up the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, worshipping the Lord, and she worshipped Tulsi Devi. So this is the greatness of the association of pure devotees, and the strength of the pure devotees surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord. So idle meditation is something which at least distracts us from material engagements, from being naughty in our material activities, at least for the time being. But we see here devotional service is definitely the one which puts an end to all mundane, nonsensical activities, and one becomes purified, and one engages in pleasing devotional service to Krishna with all one's senses. So, sorry. I'm looking here for something. Okay. Yeah, so coming to this point, so now here we see that Kashyapa, he was, he tried to pacify his good wife, but he could not. And Diti was under the influence of contaminating lust. So what can we take away from this here? So the obvious link, the more obvious item for me is that, okay, so how can we become actually spiritually strong? How do we learn from that? You know, how do we strengthen our spiritual strengths? So do you have any suggestion on this topic? Because you all are practitioners and you must do something to keep yourself strong. Okay, there's one. Yes, Govinda Prabhu. What did you say?
Name it and tame it.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Wonderful. Name it and tame it. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. That is something which I also wanted to, which I meant to address before, earlier. Maybe you have seen it. That yes, name it and tame it. Speak about it, you know. First be aware, recognize it, and then name it and tame it, speak about it. Yeah, control it. Taming it's not controlling, yeah? Okay, find something. Anything else from other side? Any other? Yes, please.
It occurs to me the main point here is she was pacified by the son of Marichi, in suitable words. suitable words means that actually you console a person who you know has done sin. It's like I think Jesus said it's not the sin that you should blame or the person, but forgiveness is the main part that comes here. And
all right.
So, you know, whatever a person's done, mm-hmm. we have it in the that forgiveness is the heart of the matter.
Thank
actually,
you. Yeah, you know,
it seems to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point too. So be a little bit compassionate to yourself also when you're making the very much endeavors to become spiritual strong. But there may be some ups and downs, and don't judge others, rather see it in a forgiving way. Thank you. Okay. Yes, Prabhupada Priya.
Hi, Krishna. Thank you. Yeah, very good question to ponder, how to become spiritually strong.
Yeah.
I was thinking that we've been doing these Nectar of Devotion classes.
I'm coming to this, but anyway, good. Yeah.
And please. Talking about the five potent processes of devotional service.
Oh. Yeah, great.
And so you mentioned Haridas Thakur chanting the holy names, also hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, associating with devotees, living in a holy place. So these, we've been hearing all the amazing potencies of these potent processes, and I was thinking that when we perform these processes, we also get potency.
Yeah.
Right? The potency of the processes comes to us, and then we get spiritual potency to be able to resist maya, resist all these opportunities for sense gratification.
Thank you so much. Yes. So that's very wonderful how you're pointing out potency. There is potency, and we receive the potency by following the process, but following also the person with it who has put this process into practice. So there's another blessings we are receiving with that potency also. Yeah, thank you so much. And maybe because of time, I have to look a little bit, so I'm going on because I have a little bit. Oh, okay. Krishna Bhava, please.
I have a question.
Oh, can I first continue? Question at end. It's okay? Good. You're nearly there. How do we become spiritual strong? Okay, so this was definitely a good answers you are giving me here. Wonderful. And just to support this, I wanted to read out two references which we got from Prabhupada Priya, and I thought you will tell them here. So one is, in the letter of Srila Prabhupada 1975, he writes about important and strict sadhana. We all have heard it, but I just wanted to remind us. Everyone must rise early, take a bath, attend Mangal Aarti, chant at least 16 good rounds, attend class, and follow the four regulative principles very strictly. If these things are lax, then there is no question of spiritual life. Anyone who does not accept these things staunchly will have to fall down. And in another quote in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.8.8, he says, gradually, Maharaj Bharat became very affectionate to the deer. Being attached to the raising the deer, Maharaj Bharat forgot the rules and regulations for the advancement of spiritual life, and he gradually forgot to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After a few days, he forgot everything about his spiritual advancement. From this, we can understand how we have to be very cautious in executing our spiritual duties by observing the rules and regulations and regular chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If we neglect doing this, we will eventually fall down. We must rise early in the morning, bathe, attend Mangal Aarti, worship the deities, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, study the Vedic literatures, and follow all the rules prescribed by the acharyas and the spiritual master. Yes, and again he says, if we deviate from this process, we may fall down, even though we may be very highly advanced, like Bharat Maharaj was very highly advanced. So I was thinking that also Prabhupada Priya brought us to this point, actually, to understand when we have such a high, or we keep our spiritual standards high to gain spiritual strength, and to everyone, like, you know, a little roller coaster is coming up and down, then obviously we will sink a little, you know, but we will be still in a net of being strong. But when we practice on a lower level, these injunctions, then obviously there is no safety net when we go through the troubles, and we are much more affected by the modes of material nature, and and now not that spiritual strong and and safe. So one aspect is obviously to do it very regularly. You know, spiritual strength builds like a muscle. We hear many times. So association of devotees is very important to keep us going, because even if our emotions fluctuate or we are not feeling like, but in the association of devotees who also want to practice, who also want to become spiritual strong, we will get tagged along. And by this discipline, we actually build our power. You know what is discipline? So now there is one more question, just for a minute. So when we have this spiritual strength, we gain spiritual strength, so does it mean we never fall temptations? But no, it doesn't mean like this, you know. So the obviously there will be temptations, even so if we are very strong. But how do we then respond wisely to them? Because temptations are only strong when actually our inner connection is weak. So we need to really connect with Krishna, we really need to connect with our Guru, Guru Parampara in our heart, and we need to connect with the process, and then our heart is filled, you know. And just like a child will forget a toy, you know, something which looks like very tempting and you want to enjoy it, when it gets something better, you know, it gives easily up this item. So also for a practitioner, when we have developed that higher taste, you know, then we can easily give up our desires or replace our desires for enjoyment, and rather offer ourselves completely in the service of the Lord. And who was a very beautiful example of this? Obviously, is Ambarish Maharaj, isn't it? So Ambarish Maharaj, he offered his mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. He offers his, his speech in glorifying the Lord, his eyes in looking at the beautiful form of the Lord, his hands in, what does he do with his hands? Worshipping the deity, you know, or cleaning the temple. He cleans the temple. So he engages all of his senses, all of his body, you know, all of his desires, you know, to link with the desires of the Lord. And in this way, he is such a wonderful example. Following this, we become definitely very strong in our spiritual life, you know. For the temptation, yeah, obviously on the path, even to not fall victim to temptations, another way is also to offer prayers right at the moment. We become aware about what is going on here, and then we quickly take shelter at the lotus feet of Guru Krishna and pray for the right intelligence and guidance. Okay, so I wanted to stop then here. Yes, Krishna Baba, you said you had a question.
You pretty much answered it.
Oh, I pretty much answered it. Okay, good. Yeah. All right, so we are ending here the Srimad Bhagavatam class. If anyone has to say something, please be free. any question? We need a mic, you say? Oh, okay.
Hare Krishna. I was just wondering one thing. All these pastimes with Kardama happen on the earth. Devahut, Diti, Kardama, they were humans. It was Satya Yuga. But it seems to me there was not any samskaras involved. So I'm just wondering, this strength of samskara is applicable in Kali Yuga, or didn't perform any samskara? Like Garbhadana Samskara, this would change everything. And I'm just wondering in that aspect.
I just say now what I understand. Because I rather have heard that the Samskaras are performed in Satya, in all the other yugas, but not in Kali Yuga. And that's how everyone born in Kali Yuga is falling to be a Sudra. So
we don't see that they perform samskara here in this case. There was
so
no
here in this case, maybe we don't get so much details. I do not know. Yes.
Obviously, I mean, they didn't.
It was because she didn't think of performing samskaras, so she approached him. So yeah, in that situation, there was no thought of it. Mm-hmm. But how they got all the other children, I cannot say. But I understand from Prabhupada saying that because we are not performing the Kapodang Samskara in this age of Kali Yuga, that's why we have to consider everyone else, everyone born to be a Shudra. Govinda.
Okay, I'm close. Hare Krishna. Going back to the Visha Kanya, I'm actually wondering, we understand Varnashram, you've got the different orders and the kings, they're part of this perfect system that's created by Krishna, it's civilized. But the kings are like, they're feeding girls poison and there's all this intrigue going on. And I'm wondering if that aspect, is that part of Varnashram or is that just some kind of demonic perversion? Would the kings of both sides be doing this, or just the demonic kings would do this practice?
Mm-hmm. That's a nice question. Yes. I mean, as a businessman, you're allowed to cheat, for example, isn't it? So, for a king, I'm not so sure what all he can do to reign his. But obviously it has to be under religious principles, otherwise it's not dharmic. So, yeah. Does anyone has an answer to this question? But, yeah. Did you understand the question? Yeah. I cannot judge that. No, I cannot say, but these were my thoughts. Thank you. Do you have a light on this question? What is your understanding?
Well, I don't have the answer, but I'm thinking, like, if one side cheats, then you have to cheat to get there. If someone's cheating, you cheat back. So it would suggest that if one side's doing that thing, then you might do the same to counteract it.
Cheating is cheating only until you make it reality. So I will invent a bulb. This is cheating. Why? Because it's not there. But once it is there, the cheating becomes reality. So you can create your reality in advance, and you believe it and you hold to it. The thing is, you have to be integrated. Any action that you perform can be looked as not real until you have the integrity, until you realize it. In this way, you don't have to cheat people to have success. You make things in your mind and you hold to them. And people that you will meet up front, you don't need to see them up front. You make the situation the way you want it to be and you hold on to it. This way, you invoke in them the things that you will expect. So it is the power of your own consciousness, and this is where Krishna consciousness comes in. Krishna creates these situations. Great.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. All right, so would you like still to answer? Or? Okay, please. Can you give her the mic, please? Yesterday breakfast was a little bit late, so I hope today also. Yes, please. Oh, if there is not. Okay, fine. All right. So then we end here. Thank you very much for attendance. Hare Krishna. Gantu Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.